Friends, namaste. It is Sunday, 8 p.m. India time, and I welcome you to our Virat Hindustan Sangam social media channels broadcast of Gyan Ganga, Words of Wisdom, which we have every Sunday at 8 p.m. with Dr. Subramaniam Swami and our other guests. Today is the 136th episode, and we will be discussing the current economic situation and the way out. We have with us two important learned guest, Dr. M.R. Venkatesh, who is an author and an advocate and has written numerous books on the economy. We also have with us Professor M.D. Nalapat. As you all know, he is associated with the Manipal University and has been a writer, a journalist, and been associated with numerous television channels and has been an expert on defense, foreign affairs, and security. And as usual, I have with me my co-host, Professor Arvind Chaturvedi from New Delhi, and Mr. Ramesh Swami. And I have to thank our viewers across the globe for the patronage they have been giving us for this program. Last Sunday's episode of 135th episode, where the topic was implications of the Prime Minister's announcement of the withdrawal of the farm bill. We had a viewership of more than 150,000 viewers across the globe. As you all know, we are already on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Periscope, Spaces, and we are on numerous platforms of podcast, which is like Google, Apple, Spotify, Anchor, and Breaker. So our reach to our viewers in various classes, various segments is increasing, and we thank our viewers for their patronage. So without much words, it is going to be over to, I must also thank our technical team led by Ashish Shetty, Tejas Navalgul, Gadgi Rakesh, Ishwar Iyer, Swaminathan, Vishal Mehta, and Aish Nair from Kerala for their support to put this program together. So with these words, it's over to Dr. Subramaniam Swami to tell us about the topic and the introductory speech. And then we will have Professor M.D. Nalapat and Dr. M.R. Venkatesh and others joining in and giving their views. Over to Dr. Subramaniam Swami.
Thank you, Jagdish. I'll begin by saying first that Winston Churchill one day called his secretary and said, I want an economist as an economic advisor, but he must have only one hand. So the secretary was baffled. He said, what do you mean one hand? He said, I'm fed up with economists who say on one hand this and the other hand this. I want only one hand. And therefore he said, can find me a one-handed economist. Now, if there are two economists, there'll be three views. Now we got four economists. Jagdish didn't introduce another Chuparastam here. And that is Dr. Arvind Chaturvedi, who has a PhD in economics from IIT Delhi. And of course, Monu is a par excellence expert in economics. His undergraduate degree is in economics. He has been teaching both politics and economics in Manipal University. And of course, M.R. Venkatesh, I don't know how many degrees he's got. But at the last count, I know that he had also a chartered accountant degree. He had a law degree. And of course, he's written books on economics. So maybe you'll write the next book on Kama Sutra. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is that on every subject, he is very knowledgeable. And so we are today assembled this talent. And of course, you've got a computer genius, Ramesh, and an ace detective called Jagdish Shetty, who finds out everything before I can ever even find out. And reason is that the assembling of this talent is that what is the truth about the Indian economy? Where are we and where are we headed to and where we should be headed to? So from that point of view, let me say that all the statistics you see in the papers is all spin. It's like the airport design recently produced for Noida, which which turned out to be, according to a Chinese scholar, it turns out to be what is being designed for the Beijing new airport, and it has made us the laughing stock. Now, in case of the Indian economy, most people in India do not know the technicalities. They don't even know between the difference between common sense and economics. Economics is a multivariate system analysis, and common sense is always, one to one. So you got what is what true is one to one is not necessarily true in a multivariate situation. Just like if you lower the wage rates, employment will not increase necessarily, because if you drop the wage rates, purchasing power of workers will go down, and that means demand will go down. That means those selling products to these people, they'll go out of business, which means there'll be increase in unemployment and not decrease in unemployment. So, I mean, the general equilibrium thing, I have done this in my earlier lectures. I like to say that in this coming January, the Ministry of Finance will release something called Economic Survey in two volumes. One is a very bulky one, and the other is a thinner one. The thinner one has analysis, the bulkier one has sectoral data. So you don't have to believe any newspaper, because all the newspapers now are doing Jalra, the Tamil word for psychofancy. So what you need to do today, we need to know, where are we headed? Are we heading up or down? Now, in the finance ministry, they held a press conference and said, our growth rate is 9% this coming year. Now, this is very strange. I mean, 9% is something very, very high, because in the last few years, we have not even been getting 3%. So how did it suddenly go to 9%? That's because we declined in the first year of corona. Virus or corona, whatever, pandemic, we declined by 24%. And now in the second year, we are going up by 9%, which means that we have still not recovered what we have lost in the first year. So this 9% is nonsensical. Everywhere, you know, in tweets also, all these Andhubaks and Gandhubaks who don't know ABC, but just sign on the Twitter for a payment, they have been saying 9%, 9%, 9%. We must appreciate. Well, that's not correct. It's like Modi's $5 trillion GDP in 5 years, which means doubling, because the base year rate was 2.5 trillion our GDP. So doubling means 5 trillion. So doubling in 5 years means, if anyone knows a minimum of mathematics, he can work out, it means 14.8% per year growth rate, which is something we have never achieved. We can achieve it. We have got the potential for it, but we haven't had the policies to do it. In fact, during Jawaharlal Nehru period, everybody said, no, Hindu rate of growth is 3.5%. Nobody can go above that. And then Narasimha Rao came and he proved it, we can go up to 8-9%. So he went up to 8% in 5 years, from starting from almost zero, because the VP Singh government had left us with complete collapse. And so in Chandrasekhar's period, we were just about turning it around, but it was a very short-lived government. But Narasimha Rao came in 5 years, he changed it from a very small growth rate all the way to 8% within 5 years, every year rising. So India has got that potential. We can grow at very fast rate. I think we should grow at 10% per year for 10 years. Then we will come equal to China. Because China is not doing too well, because the earlier advantage they had of bringing semi-processed industrial goods from East Asia, like Taiwan, Japan, Hong Kong, etc., etc., and of course, Singapore, South Korea. And then they used to add value to it and then export it to the West. So import semi-processed goods at a low price, but be in deficit in payment to East Asia, but sell it at the price, market price in the West and in Europe, which is usually three times the price which they deserve. And therefore, they here made a huge killing in foreign exchange. But that is now closed over because the Chinese labor has also become expensive and the Americans are also becoming a little tighter, tightening of the screws on what the Chinese can get and cannot get. So we have an opportunity, but we need policy. And so today we have assembled, we have assembled these two intellectual giants to tell us what is the policy we should follow. Let me just make one last comment about thing, and then I'll come back towards the end after everybody has spoken. And that is this. If you look at the economic situation, the topic was our economic situation, current economic situation, and the way forward. So I say the current economic situation is declining GDP growth rate. So if you have a headline in the newspaper, you know that ignorant people and liars, they are the ones who are putting all this in the newspapers. A 9% is not growth because you fell 24% and you have now gone up only what they call as green shoots or something like that. You have only gone by 9%. So you have still another big chunk to cover. And by then you would have lost 2-3 years. And so to recover lost 2-3 years and go back to what we would have been if we had not made a mess of the economy, that's another calculation. So let me say the economy GDP growth has been negative in relatively. It has been declining and we have a long way to go. And this all this talk about $5 trillion is all nonsense because if the corona had not come, we would have had to grow at 14.8% per year, which is not bad. Second is we have rising unemployment, particularly in the MSME levels, in the daily wage workers and so on. There's a huge unemployment. And that is having an effect, you see, because people have no money, then they can't buy. If they don't can't buy, then of course the seller also starts losing the money. So therefore, we have a rising unemployment situation. They'll come out on the streets one of these days. The farmers are already on the streets and you have to back down. Now the workers may come, factories may close. These kinds of problems are ahead. Then you have, surprisingly, while all this depression is taking place, inflation is rising. Why? Because inflation is rising because production is getting lower and it's in fact falling faster than your purchasing power. And therefore, that is creating a shortage and that is there leading to a rise in prices. So inflation for the last 4, 5, 6 months has been rising. Now, I'll just, before conclude, tell you where do I get all these numbers from. In a minute, I'll tell you. Then we have a rising declining trade surplus. Previously, we were having a good trade surplus. Of course, we are losing money in the financial part of the balance of payments. But in terms of exports minus imports, we were gaining. Now we have become negative. It's falling. So for the first time after 20 years, our foreign exchange has contracted and is contracted very substantially. So, I mean, it's not alarming because we are still in the range of $600 million. And so if we lose 50 or 500, you're not in a crisis situation. But how long can you go on that? And finally, the 8 core industries have been showing negative. Now, can I get Mr. Ramesh to put those graphs and tables that I put out? And the one I want to be highlighted is called Index for 8 Core Industries, which is probably the last table. And if you put it on, I can,
Ashish is putting it.
Okay, here, yeah, index. Fiscal year 2019-2020, that's when Corona is not there. And what is the financial year average growth? Only 0.4%. You can't even claim that is due to Corona, because that is not the Corona period. Corona period was 2019 starts on April 1, 2019, and terminates 2020 on March 31st. So March 31st, more or less, Corona had not come. Announcement was made on 25th March, but the real generation of Corona cases began in April. So this is a Corona free year, and it's 0.4 minus 0.4 for coal, minus 5.5 for crude oil in our domestic production, natural gas minus, petroleum refinery products almost zero, fertilizer is only 2.7, when the demand is, by the way, 8% requirement per year. Steel is only 3.4, and then cement has gone down, and electricity is almost zero. So this was when Corona was not there. Now you look at the other side, when Corona has hit, the first year, minus 6.4, minus 1.9, minus 5.2, minus 8.2, minus 11.2. Green shoots anywhere, please. Plus 1, minus 1.7, minus 8.7, minus 8, 10.8, cement, minus 0.5. Now, these are statistics which have been taken from the Ministry of Commerce and Industry. I think maybe by showing this table, Piyush Goyal might lose his job tomorrow morning. But anyway, you know, maybe he doesn't know this table has come. The statistical department, because I've been in Minister of Commerce and Industry, I know these are produced by the statistical department of the Commerce Ministry. And because I was an economist, it used to come to my table. But otherwise, normally, it never go to the minister, it goes straight to the printing press. Now, let's look at some more. Just go up to trade balance. Just go up to trade balance. And this is a table. Look at our trade balance, that is export minus imports. So originally we were going where is the plus? Plus is zero. Above zero is plus. We were there up till 2020 January. January, then February, March, April, May. Till that time we were going up. That is, we were going to above zero. And that is going to plus, and then it starts declining. And in 2021 October, you find it is the trade balance is minus $20 billion. The first time after a very, very long time since the Narasimha Rao, Narasimha Rao. Reforms. So therefore, anybody who says the economy is doing very well, green shoots are coming, V-shaped curve is taking place, all are lying to you. And if anybody says we'll achieve in 5 years $5 trillion, he doesn't know economics. So I'm telling you, these are not something I have done by my research and my mathematical ability, but I have taken it from the Government of India publication. And at one place, as I showed you, the Ministry of Finance on the 1st of January, previously to the 1st of February, before that it was 28th of February, but now since 2 years ago, every 1st January, the economic survey will be published in two volumes, which will have everything you want to know about the economy. So this time, please go to some government bookstore and get a copy and sit down and go over it and be smarter than everybody else. So this is the story of the Indian economy today, is that of decline, heading for collapse, clueless policies. There's no policies, so just being clueless. Nobody knows what is to be done or how serious the problem is. And we are going to find out the way we found out about Chinese, that suddenly it has come crashing upon us. So in this background, I would like our two guests plus our board member, Mr. Arvind Chaturvedi, to give their opinion of first the state of the economy, and then we'll talk about what needs to be done. So over to Nalapath first or Venkatesh first? Which your voice is now, you're muted.
Nalapath, Mr. Nalapath.
Nalapath, please take over and tell us, give us your wisdom.
Well, all I can say is that, you know, we have been having multiple problems in audio on this, sometimes the video on this. And this indicates a very good reason why Indians do so much better abroad than they do in India, because the quality of the internet is much better abroad. You know, you're assured of broadband services of very high quality. You're assured of very high resolution images. You're assured of much quicker, if I may say so, download. So obviously you can do much better. If you've got, if the workman has got better tools in his hand, and the internet is today the most powerful tool of the knowledge economy. The internet is everywhere. You know, you look at the kitchen, you look at the living room, look at every aspect of our lives. There is the internet interwoven in that. And we have seen for ourselves, on this very show, in the last 20 minutes, the quality of the internet in India, and one reason why India has been underperforming, as you have been saying, steadily over the decades, we have been underperforming. You know, actually, Dr. Swami, you know, it is always a very hazardous mission to argue with you. So I'm not a particularly courageous man. So I'm not going to do that hazardous mission. I don't know if MRV will take it on.
Yes,
but I would like to point out some things that that seem to me to be, you know, fairly self-evident. Apart from this internet issue, of course, which became very self-evident in the course of this so important broadcast on this important subject by you. I just want to point out this farmers' agitation now. After a year, the bills have been withdrawn. I'm frankly not very happy about it, for the simple reason that even from this point of view of the state of Punjab, the reality is that the current system of procurement, purchase, it basically perpetuates a system in which the Punjab is not growing the right crops for India at this point in time. The reality is that many people in India are switching to fruits, they're switching to vegetables, and they're even switching to protein. I mean, you know, we all know, for example, the massive impact on the rural economy of the fact that, after a lot of effort and a lot of whatever, you have banned the slaughter of certain animals in the village areas. That's had a tremendous impact, not only on their lives, but also on their economic situation. So I'd only like to point out that every single policy has an economic impact. The farmers' agitation, in my view, I mean, first of all, I've been tracking it since the very beginning. I'm a little bemused as to how a state as frankly well-resourced as India is from the point of view of the institutions of governance, the depth of the institutions of governance, how over such a long period of time this particular agitation was allowed to continue. If somebody had made a forecast that these will have to be withdrawn, it would have been better to withdraw it very early, in the first 1 or 2 months, rather than withdraw it, quite frankly, at the end of 1 year, when you have actually gone, first of all, you don't have the laws, they've been withdrawn, and two, you have gone through 1 year of terrible pain, which is something which can be avoided, but which unfortunately was not avoided, possibly because the instruments that are available have not been used in a manner, frankly, which delivers good results. Now, we are talking, whether it's telecom, whether it is so many other things, the instruments are available in India. The question is framing policies for their use in a manner which produces optimum results. From the farmer point of view, I would have liked to say, when I listen to your suggestion that let's make it a state-based law. And I think that makes perfect sense. I mean, we are a federal union and, let some states not implement it and continue with the old system. And then what's going to happen in 3-4 years, you're going to have problems in the water table. For example, you've got crops in some places that completely deplete the water table and which is going to, frankly, harm those particular states very, very badly. I mean, I'm sitting here in Kerala. I'll be in Delhi in a few days. And, we've got huge amounts of rain coming in. So that's not a problem here. Rice, for example, can be grown in Kerala precisely because of that. But in some other states, if you grow rice only because you can sell that rice to the government, and then what happens? A high percentage of it basically goes to rot. Now, I know in Kerala, for example, if I'm not mistaken, this husk of grain, what you see, stubble burning, that is used as feed. And actually, it has a value. It has a price. Now, the point is, if somebody were to collect the stubble from farms that are burning it and sell it, there will be markets even in India or outside that will be willing to buy it. So, in Kerala, for example, that particular stubble has a market price. It's not negative. It's not zero. It's plus. And in some parts of the country, it is not only made zero, it's made negative by stubble burning, which does immense harm to the ecology and again affects our ability to work, frankly, the capacity of our lungs to function. And both Lakshmi and I got COVID, as in October, that is the last month. And fortunately, by the grace of the divine, we, after about a week or so, we were both negative, fortunately. And although during the time when I was ill with COVID, whenever I used to call up somebody, most of them used to tell me terrible stories about what COVID will do to a human body. And frankly, I thought it's much better not to listen to that kind of stuff. So I stopped calling people until I had got a negative certificate. And then I didn't.
Okay, there he goes. Well,
we have this small interruptions, Dr. Swami. We can proceed. MRV, you can start.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. My analysis.
I know.
Be...
I think we know what we
think. Continue.
Yeah.
Yeah, go on.
This is the problem I was talking about. So my point is very simple.
This is because you are in Kerala.
This country has got enormous demographic advantages. It's got a very wonderful people. I've talked to people in multinational corporations. They say that, yes, maybe when they recruit somebody from here, that person is not up to the scratch. But within 6 months of on-the-job training, he surpasses or she surpasses what people in, after much, if I may say so, much more thorough education do in other countries, and it takes much longer time. So we have the human material. We have this immense geopolitical advantage. Dr. Swami, in the 1980s,
okay, we'll, You take over, Venkatesh, okay. And then I'll tell him that he can conclude it later.
Truly sorry. Okay, sir. This. Okay, China took, just for example, one last sentence. China took full advantage of the geopolitical situation, took full advantage of the Cold War between the USSR and the US, and it grew amazingly. The reality of the thought, very frankly, is that this is an ideal opportunity for India, even better than the opportunity that was presented China in the 1980s. We are much better equipped than China was in the 1980s. Yeah. We could grow much more, but we have to seize the day, seize the opportunity, and use our instruments carefully, use them in a manner that guarantees optimum results. We can't have a situation in which you withdraw laws at the end of 1 year, you go through the pain of this agitation for 1 year, and then the further pain of withdrawing laws that, at least in my view, were very necessary in the first place. So that's my point. There's nothing wrong with the economy that cannot be fixed by policy implemented in a manner which assures results. And I just want to end this segment by saying, I have for decades been saying, in India, nothing succeeds like failure. You saw in demonetization, the Reserve Bank completely drained the economy of liquidity. The finance ministry drained the economy of liquidity, destroyed lakhs and lakhs of small businesses. And I think almost everybody responsible in these two locations was given a promotion rather than asked to get out and go home and retire, which is what should have happened. In India, nothing succeeds like failure. You fail terribly, and I assure you, you will be rewarded richly.
Okay, good. Venkatesh?
Yes, sir. Sir, I will make this analysis from an auditor's perspective of the numbers that the government has given. Now, till 2020, March, we did not have COVID. So good, bad, ugly, all these numbers, you cannot fix it on the COVID.
Yeah.
Now, we have seen your own programs where you have pointed out quarter after quarter, beginning, say, 2018 till 2020. And even before that, it was not so robust. But even but these 8 quarters up to March 2020, you saw that the growth rate was actually spiraling downwards. Now, that has nothing to do with COVID. Now, the first quarter, we had something like 23.9% degrowth, or what they call as a negative growth. And the government numbers for 2020-2021, that is still this March, was like we have almost had a slightly positive growth, 1 or 2%, but we erased the minus 23.9% of the first quarter. We were able to do subsequent quarters were fairly good enough to offset the degrowth in the first quarter, and more or less we are back on trail. And the first quarter of this year, we said that we are back on 9-10%, and the second quarter numbers are expected on 30th November, that is day after, and we would know what is actually the government giving us as statistics. But be that as it may, there are two or three factors that we need to look into it. Yes, the bright spots today, I'll begin with some of the bright spots, then we'll go into the analysis of them. The corporate sector is doing well. And for the last 1.5 years, strangely, the profits has shifted from the household. Household savings has gone down. Concomitant savings has gone down. As Dr. Swami rightly said, there is nothing called unitary in economics. If something goes up, something will have to come down in a seesaw. The challenge is to take everything along. And what has happened is the household savings has come down and the profits has shifted to the corporates. And that is why you see the stock market is also booming. And that also is partly responsible as the sulk in the captains of the corporate sector now keeping quiet about the economy. They know the economy is in a terrible state. That's a different matter. But at least their coffers are much better than what it was, say, 2-3 years back. So there is a muted appreciation of what is going on, though they know that the party may not last. The second thing is the government has pumped in extraordinary liquidity. they thought the balance sheet issues of solvency issues can be settled through liquidity. Now, you know, you have a block drain and you pump in huge amount of water to clean the block drain. Yeah, there is water in the drain, but it's water in the drain nevertheless. So you must understand that. That's the analogy that I'm seeing. So what is happening is that liquidity is finding its way into commodity markets. So that is finding way into the stock market, that is finding even way into the real estate market. For the first quarter, or even up to August, I have some statistics which suggest that the real estate has really started picking up. This is something that I'm seeing, not because of policy, but primarily because it is liquidity driven. So real estate, liquidity driven, it's happening. Steel prices have gone and shot through at 12 mm per ton has crossed 70,000 rupees. And it is not your statement. It is not Mr. Nalapath's statement. It is the statement of Mr. Nitin Gadkari as early as December 2020, when he says that this amount of a price increase in steel is unsustainable for the Indian economy. At that time, the price was around 54,000-55,000. Now we are crossed 70,000. So this is bleeding. But there is also one thing that is happening. So when the prices of stock market is going, everybody is happy. They say it's stock market boom. When the prices of steel is going up, they are very happy. They say steel boom. But TK, we are also having profits of TISCO and other steel company going up. But the same liquidity is affecting the tomato market and the potato market. And nobody says that it's a tomato boom and a potato boom. They say it is inflation. Remember, nobody says that there is a tomato boom and celebrate. We should all be celebrating there is a tomato boom. After all, when the stock market goes up, we don't say that it's an inflation of stocks. We say it is, economy is doing well. If the economy is doing well in the stock market front because of the policies of the government, then the tomato price must also be attributed to the government. And we must say that the policies of the government is resulting in a tomato boom. But here we say it is inflation, and that is primarily because it is liquidity driven. Now, the third thing that is happening silently is that there is a set of unicorns that's getting on track. And these are all efforts. I don't know whether it's because of the government, despite the government, that's a separate policy analysis somebody has to do. But yes, the positive side that there is unicorns coming up, and these are all high-end Indian entrepreneurship that's on display, and they're all coming up with innovative ideas and innovative modeling of businesses. On the flip side, I think the government revenues have been boosted predominantly the first 6 months of this fiscal because of the high petrol and diesel prices that they maintained. And now that they have cut the prices of petrol by 5-10 rupees diesel and petrol, we would have to see what impact it has on the fiscal side of the government. And that's one worry that we will have. The government proposes to borrow somewhere around 7.5 lakh crores. And as inflation goes up, the worrying part is even today, the State Bank's chairman is in an interview commented that though the typical namby-pamby statements of all these bankers, but if you read in between the lines, it's very obvious that the interest rates could go northwards. That means it will go up. So that's one worry that I can flag off. But more importantly, doctor, this is what we would like you to probably explain to us. When the core sector, you forget what happened in 2019 and 20. Forget that first chart of yours. The second limb of your chart, which gave the details about 2020, 2021. Where all the 8 core sectors were negative, how could the government manage with a positive growth rate? Now, this is something that I'm finding it very difficult to reconcile. Why do I say that? This is because whenever we look into this government statistics, they have a funny habit of changing the basis very frequently so that you can't compare previous years to this year. And they always end up with an explanation. Oh, Venkateshji, this is comparing apples with oranges. We have changed the base. You constantly shuffle the statistics in such a way that no meaningful comparison could be made in intra-years or inter-years also. So that this statistics always has to be taken with a fistful of salt. Now, the other big point that I would like to say is that finally we have cleaned the balance sheet of several corporates. You know, the 10, no, the big 10, which were having a balance sheet problem, beginning SR, GMR, GBK, Lancor, Adani, Anil Ambani Group. All these 10 big groups have more or less been settled. But the balance sheet of the bank has not actually been settled. The capital infusion as per Basel III norms has not happened. And I don't know why we are still hugging on to the Basel III norms. We can say hell with it. We will maintain our capital adequacy ratio in the way we know it and the manner in which we would like to do it. I don't know why still we have not come with an Atmanirbhar Basel III. Rather, why should we result on a Switzerland-driven Basel III norm? And this, I think, probably is creating a problem for the virtuous cycle of investment to start. And last fortnight, we had the SBI's former chairman being arrested by the Rajasthan police. Now, that whether I'm not going into the merits of it, you know, we are not going into a case when it is before the courts. But the signaling that it does to the bankers is that when it comes to post-retirement, these people are thrown below the bus. You know that you fend for yourself, and this type of signaling has not gone down well with bankers. And I can tell you, with some amount of personal interaction with some bankers, they are petrified to even lend for. You know, when you want to go on a bicycle, tomorrow, Dr. Swami, you can go incognito and say that I want to buy a bicycle and lend me 1,000 rupees. The banker will shoo you away. He'll say, no, I can't give you. That is the fear. That is the amount of trepidation that the bankers have. Having said this, the export has really done well in the last 6 months. I must say that there has been some upswing on exports. But we must understand that has predominantly been driven by exports to the European market. But the last 15 days of European market, thanks to the new variant of COVID and other things, I don't know whether it's a sustainable proposition and whether what will happen. Of course, the government cannot be blamed if Europe shutdowns and your export markets get into a downward spiral. But yesterday I was in Tirupur. And doctor, this is the significant message that probably we need to get it right from the horse's mouth. Now, we have a textile ministry. We are supposed to be a textile giant. Tamil Nadu has got more than 2 crore spindles. We are supposed to be, even as a state, forget as a country, we are supposed to be a superpower in textiles. But our global share is less than 4% and Bangladesh is 13%. Now, Bangladesh has beaten us hollow in textiles. So now the question, therefore, I repeatedly ask myself is, should we require a textile ministry, textile policy, textile committee, then a host of secretaries, joint secretaries, everybody, all that to see that India enters us at 4% and beaten hollow by Bangladesh in textiles. I'm not into other things. So if Bangladesh can do phenomenally well in textiles, 13% of global share, why can't we be at somewhere around 50% of the global share? That should be the benchmark of your success or failure. Not comparing August of 2021 with August of 2020 and say we have grown up by 35%. Because we obviously, it is called a dead cat bounce. You know, you throw a dead cat up from a building, it falls and it will also bounce. That's called a dead cat bounce. Even a dead cat will bounce. That's what is happening. Comparing non-est year. In fact, last year was completely shut down. We can't pull out statistics of last year, compare it with this year, which is relatively better, and say we have done remarkably well, 35%, 40%. You know, there are 3 type of lies, damn lies, and statistics. And I think I always say to my students that the 4th type of lie, statistics peddled by the government of India. So we need to actually go back to the drawing board and see where we can actually put up these policies in place. I just as I was sitting on this program and listening to Professor Nallappar, I saw somebody pointing out that they have raised the GST on footwear and textiles below 1,000 rupees from 5% to 12%, something like that. This shows to the extent to which the government of India is crazy about revenue. It's about on a very crazy drive about revenue raising, when it should actually close down ministries, when it should close down department. Now, if you are going to take 10%, increase textile rates from 5% to 12% and run a textile ministry, and then say that we are being beaten by hollow by Bangladesh. Now, the question is, why do we have a textile ministry? Now, these are the questions that we need to ask. These are the policies that we would like, Doctor, you to explain to us as to how these things can be actually done. Because I've given you an overview of a person who has been visiting the boardroom, who has seen some positives. There are definitely some positives happening. But there are also some structural issues that we are facing. And banks are reluctant to lend. Exporters are worried what is happening, that the traditional areas are not gone. And since the commodity prices have gone up, the export value has also gone up. World over, the commodity, liquidity has been pumped in by every single government. So commodity prices have gone up. So value of exports have gone up. But the per unit realization has not, unit number of units. For instance, last time when I was exporting 100 t-shirts from Tirupur, I got $100. This time I'm getting $200. So compared to last year, I would have gone in 100% growth. But I have not improved my per unit export, same 100 t-shirts getting exported. So these are structural issues that I see. I see leather, footwear, gems, jewelry not doing so well. I see agriculture, as Nalapath ji has touched significantly on farm sector. So I don't want to go into it. I would like to see, Doctor, now I would leave the space back to you so that you can give us back on the policy front as to how we would like to see the challenge ahead.
Well, before coming to it, let me ask, is Arvind wanting to say something?
Yeah, sure. I have heard all three of you, three experts in different areas. Of course, Dr. Swami's knowledge cannot be commented upon. In terms of statistics he had provided, which is Government of India statistics, which speaks volumes. Now, when I look at the economy from my angle, I have both sides, good news and bad news. Now, the problem is, when I say good news, there is an equal dark side. Whenever there is a bright spark on one side, there is an equal dark side. For example, when I say what is the good news, MRV just now said that foreign exchange, the exports have gone up. Which direction, which commodities? The foreign exchange reserves has gone up, swelling. UPI transactions have crossed 110 billion. UPI transactions have never been so high. Very good news. Bank credit has gone up. But where has the bank credit gone up? Has it gone up for the industry? No, it has gone up only for the domestic borrowers. 27% borrowers are for the domestic loans. And therefore, when we say good news, there is an equal, I will say, worse. Bad news. People say diesel sales have gone up to the pre-pandemic level, which is a sign of recovery of the economy. But diesel sales have gone up in terms of value, not in terms of volume. Prices have gone up. So we are saying the diesel sales have gone up. In value, they have gone up. But no. So they are still to recover in terms of industrial activities we talk about. They say GDP is growing. Because one of the major component is household consumption, and household consumption is growing only in this quarter, in the September, October, last 2 months, the household expenditure is going up. But again, there is a cause of concern. What is the cause of concern? Household expenditure is going up for middle class only. Refrigerator, white goods, refrigerators, microwave oven, air conditioner, whatever. This is only poor people don't even have money to spend. And that is what is indicated if you look at the MNREGA figures. MNREGA demand for labor is still gone up. People are still looking for whatever they get, 50 rupees per day, 100 rupees per day, which is just enough for them to survive. How can they contribute to economy? They just survive 100 rupees per day, one member of the family, and all the money which was allocated for MNREGA has already been spent. Government is now in tight situation, what to do for the remaining part of the year. So therefore, when we say that those people who claim that economy is recovering, I say, all right, your figures are all right. But then look at this contrasting figure also. Therefore, there is a dark side of the economy which are not being projected by the government of India. Dr. Swami's figure on balance of payment, for example. Look at the balance of payment. The imports, people are celebrating imports have gone down. Are imports have gone down, then what has happened to balance of trade? And all the imports are not for consumption. There's a large number of imports which are also to be added to the manufacturing. So that manufacturing is also suffering because the imports have gone down. Yes, I agree with the MRB. Some parts of exports have gone up, especially pharmaceutical have gone up. Pharmaceutical, because of the pandemic, India is exporting a lot of medicines and all that. And therefore, it has gone up. So there are bright side. There's a dark side. But then I have three major concerns which I would like you to also react to. And Dr. Swami also. First, my major concern is poverty and disparity. India, there are two Indias, in fact. You can say now, when we say, look at the bright side, it's only 10% of the India. The poor. Now, government of India says, I was looking at the Niti Aayog figures, there's something called multidimensional poverty index. And Niti Aayog says 25% people are below poverty. 25%. How much is that? Only 35 crores. If it is only 35 crores, Modi ji has been claiming that last 1 year, we are feeding ration to 80 crores people. Who are these 80 crores people? If there are only 35 crores people below poverty line, then who are the remaining 45 crores where the ration is going? I want to know. And I've been asking this question. Nobody in Niti Aayog or any department has answered this question. That where are the, now the Delhi government will claim we are also feeding poor. UP government will claim we are also feeding poor. These are 80 crore plus. If there is 80 crore plus, then 80% of the country is poor. So these are, somebody had commented and MRB also reacted to the statistics of India. I'm a student of statistics. We have much better statistics. As compared to now, the quality of statistics produced now in terms of speed, in terms of collection, in terms of accuracy. But maybe something is to be. And Dr. Swami, who is an expert on Chinese economy, knows that if you compare Indian statistics and Chinese statistics, which is better? Okay. So my second concern is the first concern was poverty and disparity, which is increasing alarmingly. And the government of India should urgently pay attention to this issue. Second is MSME, 60 million units. 6 crore laghu udyog ikaiyan hain Hindustan mein, jo hamare pure udyog ka GDP ka 45%, 45% contribution karti hai. But what is happening to MSME? I have been hearing this announcement for government for last 1 year. MSME ke liye humne ye kiya, MSME ke liye, they are crying. Whatever growth you see number of cars are being produced are less than the demand. Demand has increased for cars, air conditioner, this and that. But what about MSME products? These people are still crying. And third is the rural unemployment. Dr. Swami mentioned about unemployment, and the government of India only gives you the provident fund data. They say so many registered employed people. Registered employed people is fine, but they are the organized sector. What about unorganized sector? Unorganized sector and rural employment is such a pathetic situation that if I think Monu Nalapath had mentioned about it when he said about agriculture, if you go to rural area, look at the people who are do not have the land, who are the only laborers, agricultural laborers, they are dying. They don't have food. The situation is pathetic and people are not paying attention by saying, "Arre, humara, employment level to bada gaya. Pre-pandemic pahunch gaya hum. The level is same as pre-pandemic." No. Third, last situation is farmers. Dr. Nalapath mentioned about that. I mentioned in one of the earlier programs also that PhD Chamber of Commerce had done a research to find out the impact on GDP of the farmers' agitation. They did the research on the Q3 of the last year, Q3, the September to December, and they found it was 70,000 crores. And if we project it for the entire year, the lowest estimate, the conservative estimate will be 2.5 lakh crores. That is the kind of impact we have on the economy of the farmers' agitation. These four issues are such an important issues that when we say bright spark, recovery, V-shape or K-shape or whatever shape it is, but the situation is not so pleasing. And therefore, we should not be complacent about it. And we cannot say that we have reached the pre-pandemic level. Now the path for growth is clear. No, it is not. And all three of you can react to these four observations which I've made. Thank you.
Well, before I ask Ramesh and Jagdish if they want to add anything, let me begin by make one or two small corrections. MRV said, that is Venkatesh, said that the 9% growth rate is after covering up for the loss in the first year. Now, that's not, that cannot be correct because we have had only 2 years. And the first year acknowledged by the government of India, you say 23.9%, I said 24% to round it off. Okay, so now, this year, if you are saying only 9% rise is there, that means you have not covered the remaining 15%. If it's 24%, it has fallen, and now it has risen 9%, then the gap is there for remaining 15. So next year, we have to cover that up. So you're going to lose now 3 years. And if you don't cover up next year, then the fourth year. So therefore, I'm saying that the Indian government, present Indian government, if they're following the same method of determining economic policy as they've been following since 2016, you cannot recover the Indian economy. Because the Indian economy was coming down, 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 down. And the last quarter of 2019-20, that is January 1, 2020 to March 31st, 2020, the growth rate on an annual basis for the data provided for that quarter is only 3.1%, which is lower than Jawaharlal Nehru's. Now, when I say that, everybody gets angry in the Twitter and saying, "Oh, I'm pleading the cause of China." How, you know, we have such idiots in our country. I can't bear, you know, knowledge proof. We have heard of waterproof, but a lot of our people are knowledge proof. Nothing penetrates their brain. Please tell me if from 8% in the first year of Modi's rule, you came down year by year by year, and finally in the last quarter, you are only 3.1%. How is this great, economic Vikas? You see, nowadays he doesn't talk much about Vikas, but the fact is that in the beginning, it's all Vikas. So, my point is, we cannot turn it around unless we have new policies. The old policies of Mr. Modi and the 18th century finance ministry we have got, you are not going to be able to turn it around. You will have to have new policies. And the new policies is, you just now, Arvind said, MSMEs are collapsing. Why are they collapsing? Because Raghuram Rajan raised the interest rate to such height, and subsequently this moron who has come as Governor of Reserve Bank, he's continuing to raise it for them. So when their cost of capital is going down, why will they produce? Then you have all the well-to-do corporates. They have used the coronavirus pandemic period to remove at least 20% of their labor. They have entrenched workers. Nobody is talking about it. And so they are able to show profit because their costs have been cut down. Well, our people are now sitting in their villages. they don't have a voice. So we don't know, and our newspapers are not getting it. They are only carry, oh, because they get financed by these fellows for cocktail parties and so on. So they only write pro-industry stories. The poor person in the I have one study which has still not been published because nobody is publishing it, which shows that the number of people under poverty has doubled since the corona. And how did it double? Because of unemployment, because of wage cut, because of losing salaries. So all these things put together, people are not buying also. And at the same time, every tomato price gone up, every price has gone up. Petrol price, maybe they've reduced it by 5 rupees, but you have gone to over 100. Now from 105, you have come down to 100. And this is the thing where means that people who live in suburbs, they are going to be losing. So I'm saying the problem is not that we are being unnecessarily critical. What can I praise them for? Please tell me. Even the arithmetic is wrong. They say $5 trillion in 5 years. Don't know the arithmetic. He doesn't know A plus B whole square is or has to include 2AB. He wants to know how this 2AB suddenly appeared. So, I mean, we are spending time on these silly things. And then the Chinese have come and occupied your territory, but no one has said China has aggressed in our country. Has any minister said China has aggressed? As the Prime Minister said, it is aggressed. So the factual situation is not known. India's economy can be turned around in 3 months, in my opinion, if you have brains. Why is Bangladesh overtaking you? Because this government and the previous government both didn't have brains. I was the Indian representative at the WTO, that is the formation of the WTO. The new GATT was framed and I was amongst the founding members. And that time I went, Arvind will remember, Jagdish will remember. And at that time, I made a deal with the Americans saying that our textiles are suffering because you have put a quota restriction. And you are supposed to be a free economy and you're giving us lectures in this conference about having a free economy and giving up socialism. So please, you reduce this. So then they made a deal with me. You help us in removing agricultural bars, which the Europeans have put on America, and we will help you on this. And they declared that the quotas they had put on the amount of cloth you can export will be removed.
Abolished.
India needed to modernize these textiles. Why? Because we had labor, the Tasamant and X, Y, Z, the communists wrecking the textiles. I know textile people who sold the land and built 20-story buildings in Bombay. All the mills in Bombay have disappeared. Whereas Bangladesh invested in new technology, which they got from the Chinese, they got from the Americans, they got from the Japanese, and then they have started exporting. And so now, previously you used to see all ready-made clothes made in China, now you see made in Bangladesh. There's no sign of India. So all these things can be corrected if you change policy. So on that note, I would like the reaction of the panel and Jagdish also and Ramesh also to start by telling their view, and then we can go on back to the experts to answer.
So, Dr. Swami, let me jump in. This is a question to M.R. Venkatesh because he's a guest, and I already know your position on this. But this is more of a question. For MRV, yesterday the finance minister opened a new building, an income tax building in Lucknow, and said this. She stressed on increasing the tax net for receiving revenue collections. A large number of SSEs means higher tax collection through funds for development. She says now she wants to increase from 300,000 returns per day to 2.5 million per day. Okay. All this is good. But even the 300,000 is not able to file properly today.
Yes.
Right? Leave alone 2.5 million.
Machines okay. are not working.
So she says, she's adding a new, she says now suddenly Infosys will be given a new, I mean, I'm just paraphrasing it. She's saying adding that a new system was being developed. So what happened to the system that is now in place? Wherein all expenditure and income of tax SSE will be collated automatically. From where? So adjust your comments on this, MRI. Since okay. you are a chartered accountant, you're an economist, you're a lawyer, you also know technology. So you are best to handle this question.
Okay, the answer to this is very simple. The way they are extracting information from the SSEs and asking them to submit it in their tax returns is like extracting your wisdom tooth without anesthesia. It is as painful as that. Okay, they are just going berserk, asking every damn detail. There is, you know, filing a tax return in India is a nightmare.
Yeah.
It's absolute a nightmare today. Somebody has to tell this government that, look, you cannot be asking information after information after information and say that that will be the way that you will sanitize the entire tax administration. Tax administration has gone bonkers in this country. You are given enormous powers to the assessing officers and you wanted to bring in the faceless assessment. The faceless assessment is being sabotaged from within by the CBDT's own officers. And by the tax department, they don't want this to happen. You have to fix that. You cannot come after every Tom, Dick and Harry and hold it as if he is one Dawood out here who is down to, you know, evade your tax system. And I'm sorry to say this, that this government has gone berserk on honest taxpayers. They said they will bring, they will finish tax terrorism. Of course, they have finished tax terrorism and they have ushered in tax jihadism. So this is how they have killed tax terrorism. So on this, let us have no other further debate. As far as those numbers, as far as the new income tax portal to be devised by the Infosys company is still in the embryonic stage. We are now again coming to a deadline. We don't know. My chartered accountant friends tell, and by the way, most of them have taken to sannyas. So several of these swamis, I say chartered accountant Ananda. So I said, what did you do in the Purvashram? I was a chartered accountant. Now I have taken into sannyas because I'm no longer able to file returns of people. So this is the true state of affairs of chartered accountant. And now coming to, as far as this 2 million, 2.5 million, you can take the speeches of every successive finance minister since Shanmugam Chetty. They were always lamented that, look, the tax base is low. We have to increase the tax base and we have to improve technology. We have to have a robust information system. Since 1947, Shanmugam Chetty to Nirmalji, this has been going on. And we all know that nothing big has happened on this. So I will stop here.
Okay.
Yeah, you see, the thing is, just one...
Go ahead, Duxon.
It's unfair that the entire agricultural sector has no income tax. Zero income tax. Poor people in urban areas, zero income tax. Okay. And rich people, they got chartered accountants like M.R. Venkatesh. So they give a piffling amount. It's this middle class, these new venture capitalists, all these who are getting the squeeze. So I want you to tell me on record whether you favor that income tax be completely abolished as a way to clean the system.
Absolutely, doctor. I am with you on this. In fact, my book on retaining balance is all about this. And I have given, I just take 1 minute.
Yes.
I have compared the Aesop's fable where, you know, the ant and the grasshopper. The ant struggles all summer and the grasshopper is singing and dancing during summer. And come winter, you find that the grasshopper is dead and the ant has got sufficient food to eat. in today's parlance, I have compared the ant to the middle class, to the honest, to the disciplined, to the dignified, to the self-employed, to the very, very diligent taxpayer, and the grass grasshopper to the freebooter of this country. Now, unless we are stopping to reward the grasshopper and reward the ant, we won't create a civilization of ants. We will create a civilization of grasshoppers. Taxes are nowhere in the world, doctor. I found out right from the Roman civilization, I've traced it, that nowhere have the taxes been the basis of creating civilization. Taxes have been used to destroy civilizations, whether it is by the British or whether our own. The fact of the matter is taxes are taxes, and taxes cannot create civilization. They only destroy it.
No, the old saying is tax and death are certain. Nothing else is
certain. And confusion in between.
So one last thing again. I just looked at one statistics, the basic more from a inflation standpoint, from a what's, as you said, Dr. Swami, the middle class is getting squeezed not only on the tax side, but even on the day-to-day expense cost side. Because the basic thing, the gas cylinder, about a year and a half ago or a couple of years ago, Modi asked everybody to give up subsidies and say that the gas, so it'll, you'll transfer the subsidy to some. A lot of people gave up. And that point in time, roughly around 580 rupees per cylinder. Now it's about 900, almost 50% jump. And in this bad economic phase, increasing the cost, the people losing jobs are not getting back on the jobs. Plus all the other inflation that's going on, MRV, your comments. So how do we, how does people cope up with such, you know, on one side you're squeezing, the other side, my cost is also going. At what point in time, where are they going to break? You know, don't you think that we are reaching that point where Dr. Swami alluded to, that you're going to fall off the precipice?
Yeah, we are in a very precarious state, especially the household finances of middle class and lower middle class. And that is why you will find it in the national statistics that the savings rate has fallen.
Yeah, because 80% of the national savings were provided by households, whereas only 15% of the savings are provided in China by the household. And in America, it is minus 2% because everybody is borrowing all the time. So it goes into minus. So India is where the people are gems. They are providing 80% of the total savings. And we are not able to encourage them.
So MRV, is that savings going down? So basically they're eating into the savings.
Yes, absolutely. They are eating into the savings.
See, what is happening is we are now borrowing. Now the use of credit cards has also gone up substantially. Not because they are doing any fanciful purchases. They are buying their groceries to their credit card because they can postpone paying it for next 30 days, 40 days. Right. So that is the level. So on one hand, you can say that, look, the UPI payment, the digital payments have all gone up. That is for statistics. But you peel off the onion, you have to also look at it, analyze this data, that people are buying from the nearby grocers by paying their credit card and saying that, TK, we have to pay after 45 days. Let us see if the horses will fly after 45 days and postpone this. So these are all alarming number of data that is coming out from various sources. So government is better equipped to, government should be better equipped to deal with this type of statistics and analyze this.
Yeah, one small correction. No. I think the gas price has gone to, cylinder is 1,000, almost 1,000, not 900. I stand corrected.
Now we are very run out of time, but before Jagdish comes on the line, I want Nalapat to make a comment about what you just heard. Where do you stand?
Well, I'd like to say that I have always said and written that lower taxes mean higher collection. And we all know that. But the point is also very simple. You have to understand the 21st century. You have to understand, for example, what is needed in the 21st century. And secondly, you have to understand your economy, your people, your country. Now, if you do what the Reserve Bank did when demonetization was announced and completely drained the economy of liquidity, I mean, this was never intended, I'm sure, by the top people. But the Reserve Bank and the finance ministry drained the country of liquidity. Millions of jobs were lost. and that impact is now still being felt. You're talking about household savings going down. Why are they going down? They're going down because people have to survive. They're selling whatever assets they have at distressed prices. They're selling land, they're selling gold at distressed prices. They're selling land at distressed prices. They're selling household assets at distressed prices. We saw this in Russia. We saw this in collapsing economies. People go on the pavement. They spread out whatever they have in the house. And they say, please buy them for something so I can have something for my food, you know, for my kids to eat. And this is the scissors effect. You know what I mean? The Russians used to come in. We are all very fond of the government. And more government is better is a very Soviet concept. Let me go back to the early Soviet Union and talk about the new economic policy. Because what is happening? The old policy, which again was soon came back, you had a scissors. What is the scissors in India? Declining income. Sharply declining income. Exacerbated by COVID and rising prices. So a fall in living standards. So you have to dip into...
One interruption. You mean falling real income.
Look, Dr. Swamy, real income and nominal income are both fallen substantially during the COVID situation.
Fallen in nominal income happened during this corona period.
Exactly.
I don't think it was there before. But no, real income, that is deflated by the price index, has been coming down.
No, I'd only like to say this one. Look, I'd like to see the bright spot. 2021, fortunately, we avoided the lockdowns of 2020. And quite frankly, it's not just COVID. The reality is hundreds of millions of people in India probably got COVID. One reason why the curve has been going down is probably we are very close to herd immunity. Although, and now what's happening, a fresh panic. You've got this new variant. Every few seconds, there's a new variant of COVID. But suddenly the entire world media, politicians, officials discover, oh my God, there's a new variant. And they're spreading panic on the 2020 level. The WHO, I'm sure the Chinese had some role in that. I mean, they completely destroyed the global economy with all these lockdowns. The reality is the damage done by COVID, the physical damage to health, is nothing compared to the damage done by the response to COVID across the world. Fortunately, in 2021, Government of India resisted the cry from doctors, international doctors, all kinds of other, non-expert experts, lockdown, lockdown. And 2021, we have not seen that kind of terrible lockdown that we saw in 2020. But the reality of the situation is, yes, I can tell you anecdotally, I can tell you very clearly I have seen income, real income, nominal income sharply fall. I have seen people lose their work. I have seen people desperate. The number of people who must be calling you, Dr. Swamy, can you help me find a job? Can you help me with something? Would have gone up exponentially. It's going up like anything. And this is happening. So I'd like to say we are talking about this big wash of liquidity. Most of it has gone to the corporate sector, and to the banks, and to a certain, and to some other, and basically writing off of loans and all that. I mean, from the point of view of the Daridra Narayan, I don't know how much of the liquidity has gone there. And frankly, grain is not enough. The whole idea about 2021 and the 21st century is that you have a better lifestyle. People in 1947 expected a steadily rising lifestyle. Well, the good news is, in China, the generation now is going to have a worse lifestyle than they had in the past. So also in the United States. But unfortunately, so also in India. And this is the point. And so, as I said, we have to look at the policy. We are blaming, for example, X is responsible, Y, whatever. Look, this has been going on right for a very long time. The British did it deliberately. We are doing it stupidly, using the same colonial tools and the same colonial mindset of the British, that government is everything. Government can fix everything. quite frankly, 2014, Narendra Modi said, minimum government is maximum governance. And I can tell you, I don't know about no tax, but low tax. Now, for example, Bitcoin. They want to eliminate Bitcoin. How can you do that? You're going to have 60 to 70 million policemen and cyber policemen tracking it to do that. If you have a tax of 5%, I can tell you, you're going to get tens of billions of dollars because India is really racing ahead. The young people are racing ahead. They are not prepared to wait, Dr. Swami. They are not prepared to hobble themselves, to tie themselves like we were prepared in our generation. So I can tell you, if the government believes it can control everything, they cannot control the young. And my worry, frankly, is that you've got tens of millions of young people in the market. What are they going to do? What have they got to do? And finally, I can tell you, there is a point when patience snaps. People said the patience of the Russian people is infinite. Well, it was not infinite. It was not infinite. We saw that not only in 2016, 2014, but we saw that, I mean, not 1914, but we also saw that in 1989, 86, 87. So I can only say, I am worried, very frankly, that if we keep on living in a situation in which we are refusing to acknowledge, we have a real problem of rising poverty among people who never experienced poverty. People who are in their 30s and 40s, middle class. Today they have no job, they have no income. They are selling their wives' jewelry. They are selling their assets to survive and keep some kind of a lifestyle. At least have a car in the garage so that friends will not know that you're too broke to even keep a car. So this is what is happening across the country. And I do certainly hope that policy is framed. At least, as I said, one good thing, we have avoided the murderous lockdowns of 2020 brought upon us by the WHO and by so-called experts who parrot what the WHO did. The WHO has been the single biggest factor, frankly, behind the of so much of mass poverty rising in the world. And I'd only like to say, I hope our policymakers wake up from this colonial era sleep and these colonial era methods before it's too late for the country. And very frankly, I have only my Indian passport. I don't have any other hidden passport. I can't go and stay anywhere else. I don't want to see chaos in the streets. And I'm wondering when that is going to come, when that tidal wave is going to come. Because as I tell you, Dr. Swami, it's a scissors. You have falling income, rising prices, falling number of jobs, rising demands. Where the scissors, when it touches and cuts, who is going to be cut? All of us are going to be in trouble.
Okay. Jagdish.
I have a question for MRV. There's a lot of, points being floated and said that the GST collection is a record collection. Can you please enlighten us? What is this record collection they are talking about?
Okay, simple. What is GST is all about? You buy something, you get the input credit along with it. And when you sell something out, you take this input credit, offset it, and whatever value added you did, you have to pay that extra tax. It's a simple tax. But what this government has done is it has blocked the input credit substantially. And an RTI by one chartered accountant in Ahmedabad demonstrates that something like 2.97 lakh crores, roughly 3 lakh crores have not been actually passed on. So they have not taken the input tax at all, credit at all, but they have taxed on the output. So it looks like we have broken the chain and we are taxing like 18% in the VP Singh and the NDTIWARI era of cascading taxes. That is why the taxes have gone up. And that is why the tax collections are very high. It is not buoyant in the way Kelkar committee recommendations were there or the GST was originally planned. It is an artificial boost. It is on steroids. And anything on steroids, you know, it will always have a debilitating effect sooner than later.
Okay. Thank you. I think we have gone too far.
Let me add to this, Jagdish's question about this artificial rise in the GST collection. GST collection is 1.5 lakh crore to the last one. In fact, government has been claiming and they're saying celebrate, it is increasing. It's like this, very simple. Suppose I buy an inverter for, let's say, 50,000 rupees and I have to pay a tax of, let's say, 5,000 rupees on that GST. Now, the seller will not file his return till the end of the month. And when the seller files the return the next month, at the end of the next month, it will be credited. So that means government is pocketing what MRB said just now, 2 months worth of GST. And that is what is adding to the coffers of the government. And that is why government is saying that the GST is increasing.
GST increasing does not show
anything to do with transactions.
It's plain 420.
it's like bankers getting the credit card money.
Float.
Yeah.
Arvind.
Yeah. Okay, I think we should close, no?
Yeah, we should. In fact,
9:30.
One of the longest programs. And we know that there are five people asking questions and comments. There are many more issues which we could have talked about, but paucity of time prevents us from doing it. Dr. Swami, thank you very much for leading the discussion and providing your expert advice and comments. And MRV and Professor Nalapat, both of you, you have come to this program after a long time. And we hope on similar issues, we'll be inviting you and your time will be available to us and our viewers. Thank you very much for providing very enlightening discussion on economy. And as I said, there are bright sides and there are dark sides, and you can pick up whatever you want. But overall, what Dr. Swami projected in the beginning, that is what is. In fact, my concern has always been the lower strata of the society, and lower strata of society, what Professor Nalapat said in the final comments about the effect of pandemic on a section of the society is really a cause of concern. People have lost income. People are selling their assets to survive. And we hope government examines these issues objectively and takes certain interventions.
We must have one session on what needs to be done.
Right.
If you have intelligent people in the government.
Right, correct.
I mean, don't draw the negative point because I said if we have. That means we don't have. Yeah. I mean,
we have a solution. And let's discuss solutions.
Yeah, what's the solution to the current economic crisis?
Yes.
So we'll have one session in that.
We'll have one more session. And economy is such an issue which touches everybody. People have to earn income. And whenever we talk about income, we talk about expenditure. And the economy consists of two major components. And we'll discuss on the certain occasion this issue. And we'll invite again experts like Dr. MRV and Professor Nalapat, along with Dr. Swami, who is already with us. And thank you very much, viewers, for supporting us overwhelmingly. And as Jagdish said in the beginning, last program was viewed by 150,000 people. We are almost becoming a small TV channel now. And though it is only a YouTube or certain other social media program, and the popularity of this program is because of the speaker, the type of people we have. Of course, the patronage of Dr. Swami is always with us. And that is what attracts people. And we have been discussing almost every topic under the sun, whether it is economy, whether it is education, whether it is health, or whether it is pandemic. We'll continue to do that every Sunday. Next Sunday at 8 p.m. again, we'll meet with a new topic, and Dr. Subramani Swami, thanks to the technical team led by Ashish Shetty, Gadgi Rakesh, Ishwar Iyer, Swaminathan, Tejas, Vishal Mehta. I also thank another addition to our technical team, Ajesh Nair from Kerala. Thank you very much, all of you. Namaskar, Jai Hind, we'll be meeting next Sunday again.
Okay.